Welcome to Santa Cruz Naturalist. I'm Emily Donham. This week on our show, we're chatting about the chemistry within Monterey Bay with Dr. Yui Takeshita from the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute. As a marine chemist, what exactly do you do?
We measure chemicals in the ocean, so carbon dioxide, oxygen, or nutrients. Based on those measurements and how they change over time or how they change over space, we kind of infer different processes of the ocean that we want to study. For example, if you want to know how much phytoplankton is growing, you know, we can measure changes in oxygen or changes in carbon dioxide levels and calculate how many grams of phytoplankton has grown over a certain amount of time.
When I'm thinking about all of these phytoplankton, it's hard to know why we would care about them. Can you tell me what makes phytoplankton important?
Yeah, phytoplankton is important because it's the base of the food chain. So you can kind of think of it as like the grass of the Sahara Desert. You really need really high productivity to support a high level of, you know, fish and whales and, you know, whatever else is in Monterey, the seabirds and things. You know, they're all linked together. And also through photosynthesis, you know, tons of oxygen is being produced by these phytoplankton. And in fact, about half of the oxygen in the air comes from these marine plants, these phytoplankton. So they're, you know, so every other breath you take, you can thank the phytoplankton for the oxygen.
So is Monterey Bay fairly unique?
Yeah. So Monterey Bay is unique because, well, one of the reasons is because of the Monterey Canyon. So there is a submarine canyon in the middle of Monterey Bay. And then so about a mile offshore from, you know, the mouth of Elkhorn Slough, the water depth can go to 1,000 meters, so 3,000 feet. So it's, you know, like immediate access to deep ocean. There are these things called internal waves that are strongly amplified at the mouth of the canyon. So just like at the surface of the ocean, you know, there are waves, right? On a big day, you know, let's say at steamers, right, there's a, you know, 10 feet would be a pretty big day, 20 feet would be enormous. But the mouth of the canyon, there are these internal waves. So these internal waves, they're still, you know, there's like surface waves, but the height of the wave can be as big as 100 meters. So that's 300 feet. Because the mouth of the canyon narrows, I kind of tend to think of it as kind of the balloon effect. Like you squeeze a balloon and things shoot up, you know, and then so when water gets funneled through the mouth of the canyon, then these huge internal waves are generated there.
So how exactly are you measuring these internal waves?
The tool that we use at Embari is something called underwater glider. These are, you can kind of think of them as an underwater drone. They can go up and down the water, so they can go from the surface to about 1,000 meters depth. And then they also have wings on them. So as they go up and down, the wings provide lift, and which basically allows them to move horizontally. What we did at the mouth of the canyon, we let it go up and down the water for about maybe 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. And then so we have a nice record of how these internal waves are occurring at the mouth of the canyon. And so one thing that we were missing from this experiment was the actual nutrients. So we can make a guess at how high those nutrients were just from background values that we've measured in Monterey Bay over the decades. But our next thing that we're working on now is to put a nitrate sensor on these underwater gliders. So nitrate is one of the key fertilizers of marine phytoplankton. And so we're hoping to get a nitrate sensor on the underwater glider sometime, hopefully next year.
You've been listening to Santa Cruz Naturalist. I'm Emily Donham. Special thanks to my guest, Yui Takeshita, and as always, to all of you for tuning in.